From the bustling streets to the quiet corners, every town in Ireland has a story to tell. I'm Alison Curtis, and in this series, we're hitting the road to uncover the heart and soul of communities across the country. We'll be meeting people who make these places special, hear their challenges and triumphs, and celebrate the unique spirit that makes each town its own. So buckle up and join me as we discover the magic of my town, only on Today FM. Welcome back to My Town, the podcast where we celebrate the unique charm and tell the stories of Ireland's many communities. Today, we're in the idyllic Gregnamana in County Kilkenny. This town is nestled by the River Barrow and is surrounded by lush rolling hills and the striking peak of Brandon Hill. We're starting our day with James Kavanagh and William Murray, a dynamic duo with an entrepreneurial spirit who have made a name for themselves in Irish culture. James is a social media personality and food writer, while William is a celebrated designer, chef, and entrepreneur. Together, they've embraced rural life after leaving Dublin behind and settling into their charming home here in Gregnamana. James and William welcomed us into their beautiful garden with cups of tea in hand, ready to share their story and show us around.
Oh my God, oh, thank you so
here
much.
You go.
Thank you, James.
You get to choose your own cup.
I made
choose
this.
Your fighter.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
Cool, isn't it?
A bracelet for going out.
You're the prom.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, James
you.
Is choosing the cups.
And
oh.
You're the checkered
checkered situation.
Thank you for hosting us at your beautiful home. James, how long have you actually been here now?
God, we're here about 6 months, is it?
Since May.
Since May.
Whatever that is.
About 6 months. Yeah.
Time, down the country, time doesn't exist in the same
stand
way.
Still,
no.
Stand still. So James and William, you've built this incredible life out here. What inspired you to move from the city to the countryside?
William's from Cork. Mm-hmm. I'm from Dublin. We didn't know anyone around this area at all. But we fell in love with the house and the garden and the potential to grow things and just the fact we're on our own little plot and...
The view, I think the view
is incredible.
Every time I see him, I'm like, this was the right decision.
Yeah. But so the house was what sold it to us. And then we were like, look, we'll take a gamble on the area, see what happens. We're still kind of close to Dublin, so when we need to go up and see people, we can. But then, like, Gutubbin, like over a couple of like weeks, like we start meeting like our neighbors, we start meeting cool people that were doing things. Like there's a guy called Seamus who grows all his own wheat in like a nearby field, mills it and makes pastries and then takes over a pub in the local village Burris and sells pastry and bread and that's like five minutes
away. We kind of quickly realized you didn't need to be in the center of Dublin or in Phippsburg or whatever to get like your old flat white and your like stunning croissants.
Things you prioritize.
Exactly, things you prioritize. Yeah. And things you, I think as like an urbanite, you become like, they're like your safe space.
Yeah.
You know, an old flat white and a croissant. As long as I'm like 5 minute walk from one of them, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
But we make time for each other more now. And people come down and visit us as well, which is great.
I've never seen so many friends.
Because you've got the space now. You have your like mini Glastonbury in your space.
Totally. And then like, you know when you're on a night out in town or whatever with friends, you see each other for like 6 hours. It's dinner, drinks, club, home. Like I've...
Another club. Then you're in London, then you're at another club.
No, but people will come down on the Friday and leave on the Sunday. Yeah. So you're getting like real gorgeous quality
time with
people.
But you get the daytime with them as well, yeah.
The house came with the studio. The previous owner was a painter. And that's kind of part of the reason I really wanted to live here because I was, you know, I was paying like so much money for a studio in the centre of Dublin every month. So to have my own studio now is amazing. But James doesn't like the idea of me having a room to myself.
No, I don't.
So he's insisting on setting up like a letter writing desk in my studio. So
it's not
write,
your studio.
So he can write,
it's like my studio. It's
so
a room
write letters
in the house.
His, like correspondence. He's never written anyone a letter in his life.
I want to get into letter writing.
Do you have like a nice feather pen now?
Yeah, I want to get all that sort of stuff and a little wax.
But he only wants to do
I want to write my postcards.
He only wants to do it so I don't have my own room.
But... it's nice to have the space to not see each other as well. Because if you're living together in the middle of nowhere...
And
you know,
working.
And working. We kind of do need our space.
Yes.
So it's nice, you know...
One of us will kill the other. It'll be on the news.
But that's something we couldn't have afforded in Dublin was space.
I know.
For the price we paid for this, we would have got a tiny studio apartment, if even, in Dublin. But now we have, like, a wing each.
Yeah.
one day William was like, do you know what an acre is? I was like, actually, no. It just sounds good.
It's a lot bigger than people think it is.
Yeah, this is just under an acre. And actually, I'm glad it's not any bigger because it's a lot. You have to manage your garden.
Yeah.
I'll show you our snooze web in a bit, but that's
and we have our most amazing here, so there's like six apple trees.
Amazing.
There's a pear orchard down here. There's a couple of pear trees. We've got a bay laurel. We've got our polytunnel here. So during the summer we grow all our veg, and we've got some outside beds we're setting up. There's kind of herb gardens.
Sometimes you're like, you know, you're digging up your veg at the end, and you're like, oh my god, it's free basically. But you're like, you've put about $1,000 into that carrot. Like, you know, actually, you put a lot of money into, you know,
setting it up, buying the soil, buying everything, all the equipment.
But you feel good about it. Is there a disco ball down there?
There is. That's above the snooze web.
The snooze web.
Would you like to see the snooze web?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So this is our snooze web. My friend made this for me. He makes them, depending on what kind of tree setup you have.
Right.
And you'll have the most amazing nature naps out here.
So like, you just bring your own bedding out.
I bring my duvet, the pillows, the works, and then I go for like a little nap during the day. I'll show you now. Or you can have like a party in it. We've had about 20 people in this.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Some little tomatoes there. We'll have our lunch here, will we?
Yes, oh, thank you. There you go.
Delicious.
That'll be €5.
Thank you. From the vegetable patch in their polytunnel to the snooze web, a massive trampoline-like hammock, it's a space that truly reflects their vibrant personalities. Inside the house, the stories continue, including one deeply personal connection William has to their new home. It's moments like these that make this house feel like so much more than just bricks and mortar.
So I suppose the last few years in Dublin were kind of, I guess, coloured by COVID, but also my mum got COVID and died. And she was an artist she died in 2020. And that kind of pushed us out the door as well. Yeah. Like I think I in particular needed a change. I needed to shake things up a bit. Mm-hmm. So when we found the house anyway, we were delighted and we moved in. And we were both in a bit of shock, like we were kind of here with all our boxes of things and in the empty house. And I noticed that in the bookcase, there was a couple of scraps of paper. So I went over and I picked up one of the pieces of paper and it had an envelope on it. And on the envelope was the name of this name here, Anna Regan.
Right.
And that is my mum's best friend. And I was like, I wonder if it's the same Anna Regan. And I opened it up and in it, I found my mum's name and address.
Oh my God.
An exhibition they had together and a piece of writing written by Kerry Hardy, who was the woman who owned the house that we bought it off. And she's a poet.
Yes.
So this is back in 2004. She wrote a piece of piece about the exhibition and the work in it.
Wow.
For my mum and Anne's exhibition. And it was just in the house. It was unsealed.
Such a sign, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
I just goosebumps.
I know.
That's just such a sign. No,
yeah. And I don't know if I'm like into signs and all that sort of, but that was a good sign.
Next, James and William want to take us to one of their favorite spots in town, the Goodley Barrow, a combination museum and cafe just a short drive from their home.
So this is the Goodley Barrow, a really lovely cafe and museum that's all about the Barrow River, which is our local river. So if you look around, it's like a little film going on, which kind of goes through the history of the Barrow and how it was used for industry and all that sort of stuff. And then the cafe itself, we actually only discovered this a couple of weeks ago. We're here 6 months. So it's like we're still being surprised at loads of other little things around the area. So there's a really nice cafe in there run by a lovely family, and they do lovely seasonal dishes and stuff
lovely.
Like that.
I know this is for radio, but I love the brickwork. I love the history. You can feel like it was a bustling place, and it's just a good use of space, converting it into something.
The Barrow is Ireland's second longest river, but it was used for transporting, like all of these would have been grain storage facilities. Odlums was on the river, so you could get the barge, and it was all horse-drawn. So there's canals running alongside the river, and each lock, and you could actually get a barge from Waterford all the way up to Dublin.
Amazing.
Via the Barrow, which meets the Grand Canal at Athy, I think. And horses would tow the boats all along the river all the way up. So it's an amazing history.
Should I go in?
Yeah. Look, okay. Pause here. There's no hurry on the Barrow.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
The Goodley Barrow is truly a community hub, blending history with hospitality. Popular with walkers, kayakers, anglers, and cyclists on the River Barrow Way. We had a lovely chat with Brian Donnelly, the manager, about its role in the town.
It's become quite a hub of the community as well. And the locals are absolutely fantastic. They are great, great supporters, and they're fantastic people. Really,
and I love how you're showcasing
local crafts. Yeah. We're hoping to open up. We actually have another floor upstairs on the very top. So we're hoping eventually to open that as a craft centre for people as well, to have display local crafts as well, because there's quite a lot of artisans in the community around.
In all sorts of crafts is what I'm seeing.
There's quite a diversity out there, and it is a good melting pot here.
Smells good here too. It's delicious, I imagine.
Everything is here is completely fresh. There is no preservatives, no colorings, nothing like that.
All the soups are famous in the area.
Okay. You've got to try the pumpkin soup because that's my personal favorite.
Thank you so much.
After a bite to eat, we headed to Glasserie and Goodies, a pocket-sized food shop brimming with local artisan treats, for another, bite to eat.
Can I get the roll, please, with ham, cheese, tomato, red onion, and mayonnaise and whole grain mustard? Thank you so much.
And I'll do my regular chicken panini.
So we discovered this when we first moved down, probably on like day two or three. It's called Glasserie and Goodies. It's like 10 minutes across. And as you can see, it's full of gorgeous food. But what's great about it is they hero a lot of local products.
Lots of lovely like local Kilkenny stuff as well, which is great.
And a fridge full of gorgeous stuff. You can get salads, loads of veg. So even though it's a small shop, it's
there's
like
a lot in it.
There's a lot in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your regular thing that you get here?
Well, it's soup season, so definitely. The soup is good. I always get either the chicken one or the ham, cheese, tomato-y sort of roll.
The bread, the bread is gorgeous. You see lovely, lovely rolls. Get a coffee, obviously, and then the homemade treats are stunning.
Oh yeah, the flapjacks.
Flapjacks are great, yeah.
Siobhan Lawler runs the shop near Gowran Village with her partner Derek. She told us how, since they opened in the challenging recession of 2010, they have built a thriving business that showcases the best in Kilkenny's local food producers.
Well, I'm just from Kilkenny City.
Yes.
But I went to Dublin in 1989 and met Derek, and then we moved back down here 21 years ago. So 15 years ago then, when the recession hit, and I was wondering what to do, was made redundant, and I decided, I should try running my own business.
Yeah.
So I opened up, and it was really scary because, like, artisan food and that kind of thing at a time when things were tight.
Yeah.
But it just worked. So luckily it's far gone, but we're really happy.
We're still very popular.
Yeah.
Been busy, and we've only been here for a few minutes. It's very busy.
Well, it is lunchtime, and it's our most busy time, which is good.
Our final stop was Meadow Lane Equestrian Centre, a family-run riding school managed by Aileen and Bob Walsh. At the centre, we saw firsthand how this business combines equine therapy, riding lessons, and the love of animals to create something truly special.
My name is Bob Walsh, and this is my wife, Aileen, and we're in Meadow Lane Equestrian Centre, the Roar, in Estig, Thomastown, County Kilkenny.
Can I call it a ranch?
Far from a ranch now. We built the place in 2004.
Right.
Yeah, so there was nothing here. There was nothing here before that, only a field. So.
And what's your background then? Like, are you both?
Well, I'll give you a quick rundown now. My father was a hairdresser, right? He was the first ladies hairdresser in New Ross. And he employed my mother. So they got married then, and they had a family, and I was one of them. And then I was a hairdresser, and I employed Aileen. And something went wrong somewhere in the house. Now I'm working for Aileen instead of her working for me. But anyway, that's the way it went.
When I was younger, I had a few ponies at home. My brother, Phelan, used to ride horses, and he'd take me out on the ponies in the evenings, and I just fell in love with it, yeah. Loved it.
So you're calling these ponies, not horses?
No, there is a mixture. Right, there's small ponies, there's large horses, there's rescue horses, there's thoroughbreds, that we have some very nice friends, and if they have some nice, quiet thoroughbreds, the Dooleys, they offer them to us, yeah, and they've been very successful and lovely horses.
And what about numbers? How many horses are we talking?
We're talking a large amount. I don't even know if Bob knows how many is here. I do have to try and hide some.
There could be 50, maybe. And sometimes there could be 60, because our sons break horses. And they get in horses to school, and they get in horses to go to get ready to go to the sales. So from any given time, there could be between 50 and 60 horses.
And you have loads of different experiences in riders, people's different abilities, but you also work with children. You welcome everyone, basically.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
And people with special needs. And
We have children with special needs. Yeah. And it's lovely to see the way the horses respond, and you know, they're so gentle.
You know, it's well noted globally and around the world how important horses can be for people's mental and physical health, like equine therapy. So you obviously see that firsthand here.
We do, yeah. You'd see it all the time. You know, you'd see it all the time, the way the horses react to people and the way people react around horses.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we have children who are autistic or that, and when they come, the parents say, my God, I can't believe that this is the same child, because they just really calm down and relax, and they're hugging the horses and they're smiling, and they're, you know, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
They're an animal that you can get really in tune with. And I know I have an aunt who has a horse ranch outside of the capital of Ottawa, Canada. And same thing, throughout our lives as young kids and adults and teens growing there, we could see people arriving, maybe very apprehensive, but leaving so full of confidence. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But even like sometimes people would bring children out and they'd say, I don't know if the child will speak, because they're very quiet, very into themselves.
Yeah.
And they come out, and some of them come out and help on Saturdays. And by the end of a few months or a short while, they're
different.
They're different. Yeah. They're just completely different. They're around the horses, and they can't wait to see somebody coming in, so they can actually show them, look what I can do, and this is this horse. And it's great to hear them speak. And we're so lucky. Yeah. We are so lucky to have this and to see the way that it changes people's lives. And it has.
The area are very lucky that you're here.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they'd look at that. They would, yeah, they do. And all the neighbours, when the pandemic was here and we had no money coming in, and there was, I mean, the amount of people that helped us out with, you know, throw a few horses in here, and because we'd only have about 10 acres here. So, you know, they offered us bales of haylage, and, you know, like, they were, and you couldn't live in a nicer place now. Everybody looks after everybody
else.
Yeah, cheers, yeah.
Care horses, like, they require quite a lot.
Yeah,
of care.
It is 7 days a week. Days a week, and then you know, some of the horses then, like, would be older, and they're starting to get thin, and you're trying to keep weight on them because they, you know, like, it's just old age, you know, and you're trying to keep them going as long as you possibly can, because you do get really attached to them.
So many people are leaving bigger, busier centres and finding really lovely lives in smaller communities.
Yeah.
You obviously would echo that sentiment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how anybody lives in the city.
Hi there, you must be Ava. So, Ava, how long have you been coming here to Meadow Lane?
I've been coming here for about, I'd say, 10 years.
Right.
I've been in another place before I actually came here.
Yeah.
Called Old Course.
And how much do you love it here? Do you just...
Honestly...
Yeah.
My life, I literally, like, wouldn't be me without it.
Yeah, and are you here early days till evenings?
No, I usually just have a Saturday lesson, and on the camps I'd be here from, like, 10 to 3.
Wow, and do you have a favourite horse? I was asking everyone.
I do, I actually... Yeah.
You've got an answer for
I got a little spin on Lutely the last time I was here for a camp.
Excellent.
And she's kind of become my favourite.
Yeah, you've got to have a favourite, I think. I always had a favourite.
I'm on my way to meet a very special resident of this community, and it's not a person, it's a horse.
Hello.
So this is Tilly, and this is the horse that we're going to put you out riding in 2 minutes. She's a lovely horse.
Very quiet. He's very cute.
Jean Michael's wait now, how long back?
14 years.
Yeah, she's lovely. She was actually on her way to the sales.
Okay.
My nephew had her here. I was platting her. And I said, if she doesn't sell, bring her back and I'll take that.
She seems very...
She's here since. She's
feeling
unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
And this is my new horse. He's only a 3-year-old. And he's 16-3. And I have no name. I can't pick a name. No.
We should name him Curtis. Curtis!
When he came in, our son got him in to break him. And we had to herd him into the... I mean, he was wild. He was a wild horse. We had to get a rope and put it around the yard and herd him into the stable, out of the horse box. He was so wild. And you'd go in there now and he'd lick you. He'd put out your hand. He'd look. You know? He's, and that's... Like when he came... Like when he was wild. Like what you'd see in the Westerns, like, you know? There's a guy that comes up with horses from Yall, and that was one of them. But he comes up and he's you know, he got in, could see where Pat Short gets all his material from. This guy, like, he's, you know, the Jeep has fallen apart and the horse box has fallen apart. And then when you get the check in the post, compliments of some big hotel down in Yall, you know, you'd never know. Like, he has some big hotel down there, you know.
Right, here we go. I'll admit it's been a while since I've been on a horse, so wish me luck. Okay, 1 foot in the stirrup, and up we go.
There we go.
All right, Tilly. She's pretty tall. Walking with Tilly, one of the school's beautiful horses, I couldn't help but reflect on my own childhood growing up in Canada, where horses were such a big part of my life.
I started when I was 4, and I haven't done it in about 12 years. I might have been a bit more horsey mad than Karen. My favorite horse, his name was Specs. He had little freckles on his face. And I used to go out into the field and get him back to the barn without a harness or a bridle or a saddle. And I would just jump on him and ride him back to the barn.
At Meadow Lane Equestrian Center, the Walshes run a true family business. Alongside Aileen and Bob are their sons, Robbie and Neil, playing an integral part in keeping things running smoothly, from training young riders to managing the day-to-day operations of the stables. So Robbie and Neil, it's clear this place is a labor of love for your family. How did you both get involved?
So I kind of grew up with it. And, you know, we've kind of...
No, not differently.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen a lot of people come through the place, a lot of changes in the places and... the place and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah.
It's really lovely. And we were talking to your parents just about the difference in, you know, certain children or adults coming through, maybe not feeling super confident, and then they leave and they just feel like empowered being around these amazing animals.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of people who came out like over the years to help, you know, on a Saturday and stuff, and then you see like a lot of them have very good jobs now and stuff, and the bosses say like that they're, you know, they don't have to be asked to do stuff. They can see something and
there's like
to be done and do it. Like,
a discipline there.
Yeah.
Do you see this being life forever, always running this?
Yeah.
I don't really see myself doing anything different, to be honest.
Oh, well, you love it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, it's you know, it's obviously a tough job looking after the horses the whole time. But, you know, if you didn't absolutely love it, you wouldn't have
missed. Yeah, amazing animals.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Especially Tilly.
Yeah, she's one of the stars.
She is.
Okay, how do you get off this? Hairy.
Maybe you should have asked before I start this.
Greg Namana isn't just a place, it's a feeling, a quiet reminder of what truly matters. This town has shown us the power of community, connection, and creativity. Greg Namana is more than just its stunning views and winding river paths. It's a community woven together by kindness, collaboration, and shared dreams. It's a place that reminds us all to slow down, savor the moment, and find the joy in small things. My Town is presented by me, Allison Curtis. Audio by Cahill O'Sullivan. Scripting and sound design by Lachlan Hart. Researcher, Shannon Kenny. Executive producer, Mark Lenahan. This project is co-funded by Commission Naman under the Sound and Vision Scheme.